How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. This is a psalm of David, obviously written during a time of personal distress and trial. David, of course, had many such times in his life, and therefore it is impossible to pinpoint the specific time and place of this particular psalm. It could have been just about any time in his life. The words of the psalm, of course, could be used very often concerning David. And as we've said before, for every human emotion and experience, there is a psalm to teach us. And this psalm, like all the psalms, is very practical, very relevant, one that we can easily identify with. It's not hard to place ourselves in this psalm. It's also one that's filled with much instruction, much help, much encouragement, source of strength and peace and hope. It's a deeply moving psalm. Throughout the psalm, David is talking with God. So it is a prayer. This psalm is a prayer. But in this prayer, there is a distinct shift in David's manner and tone. And this shift in manner and tone marks, more importantly, a shift in his soul, in his spiritual attitude. The shift reveals that prayer changes us. Prayer does not change God. You do not want to change God. His will is perfect. But prayer does change us. And this psalm is a good example of that. So this psalm or prayer begins with David discouraged and depressed. But by the time you get to verses 5 and 6, he's encouraged. He's excited. At the beginning of the psalm or prayer, there's impatience, there's agitation, but at the end of it, there is calm, verses 5 and 6. At the beginning, there is confusion, there is, at the end, contentment. At the beginning, we see that there is sorrow, but at the end, there's joy. At the beginning of this prayer, there is a complaint. But at the end, there is contentment and thankfulness. At the beginning, there is a felt distance from God. But by the time you get to verses 5 and 6, there's a closeness to the Lord. Continual prayer changes us. It changes us. Again, the entire psalm, David is talking to the Lord. And herein lies the answer to the dark days of the soul. Talk to the Lord. Never stop talking to the Lord. Never stop praying. Keep praying. Now, again, there's a very sharp contrast between verses 1 and 2 and verses 5 and 6. Again, let's read verses 1 and 2. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? You see, there's a distance. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? And then verse 5 and 6, we see quite a change. Still the same prayer, but there's a change. And in verses 1 and 2, as he's in that state, he continues to pray. There is absolutely no indication anywhere in the psalm that his circumstances ever changed. No indication of that whatsoever. But there is every indication that he changed. That he changed. See, the important thing with praying is not that our circumstances change. The important thing is that we change, that we get closer to God. So keep praying. Keep praying. People will say, I've been praying and praying and praying and nothing has changed. But if you're really praying, you'll change. Therefore, it's worthwhile. David kept praying because he knew that the answer to his situation was God. That's why he kept praying. And as we consider this psalm, again, remember, David is praying. And oh, how we need to just keep praying. Relentlessly, intensely, fervently. So I want to speak this evening on praying through despair to joyful, thankful song. Because by the time you get to verse 5 and 6, it is joyful, thankful song. Prayer, of course, is a form of expression to God. And in this 13th psalm, we see the expression of despair in verses 1 and 2. There is also the expression of desire in verses 3 and 4. And then in verses 5 and 6, there is the expression of trust in the Lord. But first of all, let's look at verses 1 and 2. And we have the expression of despair. The problem many times with our praying is that we come to God trying to act like something and somebody that we are not. We lie to God many times in our praying. Again, we come pretending that we're something or somebody that we're not. And throughout the Psalms, and in particular this 13th Psalm, we see the psalmist being honest with God in verses 1 and 2. Even if it means the expression of feelings that are not right. The feelings that David is having in verses 1 and 2 are not right. But he expresses them to the Lord. God knows our heart. Don't pretend to be somebody that you're not. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. We do that with people all the time, but you're wasting your time. doing that with God, because He knows. So be honest. Be sincere with God. Honesty and sincerity are very important matters in an ongoing relationship. And honesty and sincerity with God are very important to an ongoing relationship with the Lord. Being honest with God. Four times in verses 1 and 2, David asks the question, how long? Four times, how long? The repetition of these words tell us something of the circumstances of David. No doubt it was a time of great trial. No doubt it was a time of difficulty. The repetition of those words, how long, also tell us something of the inward spiritual condition of David. Keep in mind, he's praying. He's expressing himself to God. But the words are indicative of a soul that is distressed, of a soul that is troubled, of a soul that is anxious. If your soul is distressed, troubled, or anxious, don't go to God and pretend that it isn't. He knows. So David is praying. The words, how long, are indicative of a soul that is discouraged. Indicative of a soul that is impatient and weary. A soul longing for relief. Again, when in that condition, don't pretend to be something that you're not with God. Be honest with the Lord. Now, the words immediately after the fourfold use of how long describe David's feelings at this time. Keep in mind, David is praying. He is expressing himself to God. He says, how long wilt thou forget me? What's David feeling? He's feeling that the Lord is not concerned about his particular circumstance. That's not a right feeling. But David didn't hide it, because you can't. He expressed it to the Lord. That's the wonderful thing about God. One of the wonderful things. Our feelings may not be right, but we can express them to the Lord. And you might as well, because He knows. Again, don't pretend to be something you're not with God. And then David answers the question, how long wilt thou forget me, with another question. Forever? There's despair there. Lord, are you going to forget me forever? There's a feeling of hopelessness. Again, this is not a right feeling. And we know from Isaiah 49, verses 14 and 16, God never forgets His people. And we know that. And we all know that. But we sometimes forget. And we think that God has forgotten, or God is not concerned with my situation. Again, these are wrong feelings. But in spite of his wrong feelings, he keeps on praying. And he expresses those feelings to God. And before long, by the time you get to verses 5 and 6, he's changed. So keep praying. You may have wrong feelings. Express those feelings to God. Keep praying. and you'll be changed. He goes on, he says, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Throughout the Word of God, the manifestation of God's face is a picture of God's bestowal of blessings. So with this question, we get a clear idea of what David is feeling at this time. He is feeling that God is withholding from him. He has lost sight of God's goodness to him. Do you ever lose sight of God's goodness to you? I know you do. We all do. What do we do with those feelings? Well, we ought to express them to God. We ought to pray. He's feeling all alone. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? He's feeling out of touch with the Lord. But even though he's feeling out of touch with God, he's still talking to him. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Because again, by the time you get to the end, David has kept on praying, and David is changed. Again, what he's expressing here is not a right feeling. But he keeps praying. He does not pretend to be something that he's not before God. He then asks a third time, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? Again, since God is departed from me, he's hidden his face from me, I have to take counsel somewhere, so we take counsel in our soul, having sorrow in my heart daily. The word counsel has reference to his own thoughts, his own meditations. He has become a prisoner to his own thoughts. That ever happen? You become a prisoner to your own thoughts? It happens all the time. The sad thing is, some people live their whole life that way. You don't have to live that way. Keep on praying. God will change you. That's what prayer does. Again, he's become a prisoner to his own thoughts. That's not right. It's not right to become a prisoner to our thoughts or to our feelings. But tell God. Tell God. What good is it going to do? You become a prisoner to your own thoughts, so you just curl up in a ball. That's not going to change you. Not for the good. But tell God. And someone said, well, I can't tell God that. He already knows. He already knows. And if you tell him anything else, you're lying. Express your feelings to God. The word soul, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, shows that this is more than just an emotional and mental battle. This is a spiritual battle that David is in. And when in a spiritual battle, tell God. Express yourself to God. The word sorrow, of course, is indicative of grief or anguish. And notice, it was daily. It was relentless. Went on one day, gets up the next, and it's right there again. And he told God. Again, keep praying. The feeling may not be right. Your spiritual condition may not be right. But keep praying, because prayer changes us. He goes on, he says, how long shall mine, this is personal and real, enemy be exalted over me? The word enemy, of course, indicates something that is against him. Something that is opposed to him. Something that is hindering him. A working force against him. And this enemy is exalted over him. That is, this working force is placed above him and seeking to hinder him and was winning the battle. These are words of defeat. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? That is a feeling of defeat. Do we ever feel that? Of course we do. If you say you don't, you're lying. We feel that from time to time. The question is, what do we do with it? The best thing to do with it is tell God. Express that feeling to the Lord. If you're feeling defeated, don't go to God and pretend you're victorious. He knows. He knows. So from all of this, we see the feeling of discouragement. We see the feeling of distress. There is anxiety. There is despair. There is impatience with God. There is loneliness. There is a sense of hopelessness. There is bondage and there is defeat. All of this we see in the first two verses. And aren't you glad that the Word of God addresses those feelings? Because we have them. So we ought to be glad that the Lord, the Word of God addresses those feelings. So there's David. He has these feelings. They're not right. They're not right feelings. But what does he do? He prays. He talks to God. When was the last time you went to God and said, Lord, I'm discouraged. Lord, I'm defeated. Lord, I'll be honest with you. I'm a little bit impatient with you right now. You say, oh, I wouldn't dare say it. He knows. He knows. And it's this continual praying that leads to change. So he's expressed his feelings. Then in verses 3 and 4, he expresses his desires. Again, David is praying. In spite of what is expressed in verses 1 and 2, David keeps praying through it. And that's the lesson. Yes, we have feelings that are not right, but you just keep on praying through those feelings. And I guarantee you, if you do that, you'll get to verses 5 and 6. The problem is, most folks do not do that. Most of God's people do not do this. So no matter how wrong your feelings may be, keep praying. In verse 3, there are three specific petitions. So now we see from verses 1 and 2 to verse 3, there is the manner of his praying has changed. Verses 1 and 2, he is expressing his feelings, and they're not right feelings. But by the time you get to verse 3, his manner of praying has changed. You see, he's being changed. As we consider these three petitions, again, remember, they are petitions of the one who is in verses 1 and 2. These are the petitions of the individual in verses 1 and 2. These are not the petition of the individual in verse 5 and 6. He's not there yet. These are the petitions of an individual living in verses 1 and 2. An individual who has wrong feelings. Wrong feelings toward God. So his petitions are this. He says, consider me. Consider me. These words are in the imperative. indicating that this is an earnest plea. Not just a casual passing request. So we see the prayer is growing in fervency. The prayer is growing in urgency. You express your feelings to God when they are not right feelings, and you continue to do that, your prayer grows in urgency. And this is what's happening here. The word consider means to look at. David is saying, look at me. Again, these are the words of the one in verses 1 and 2. God, look at me. Look intently upon me with care. Again, in the context of how long? Lord, look at me. There's an urgency. He is feeling the need for God's special care. So he begins to plead for such. And again, when you are in verses 1 and 2, you are in need of God's special care. The care that only He can give. Pray for such. He also says here in verse 3, hear me. Consider me. Hear me. The word hear here does not just merely mean to listen. It means to answer. To respond. Lord, would you respond to me? Again, it is a prayer of urgency. It is a prayer for God's intervention in his life. When you are in verses 1 and 2, just keep praying for God's intervention. You say, oh, I have been for a week, and he still hasn't intervened. Keep praying. What is it that you don't understand about this? Keep praying. Well, he hasn't done anything. Keep praying. I'm getting frustrated. Tell him. Keep praying. Keep praying. Because prayer does change us. Not immediately, but continual prayer changes us. How often we stop praying too soon for whatever. The third request that he makes is lighten mine eyes. This is the plea of one who is feeling the darkness. He is saying, give light to my eyes. He is praying that the Lord would open his eyes to see things as he ought to see them, which tells me that he now realizes what he expressed in verses 1 and 2 is not accurate. But Lord, I can't help but feel this way, so you need to open my eyes so that I can see things differently. Keep praying. Keep praying. He kept on praying that God would cause him to see and think correctly. If you do not see correctly, you do not think correctly. And the psalmist in verses 1 and 2 is not seeing correctly and he is not thinking correctly. But that did not keep him from praying. He kept on praying. Many times you have to go to God and say, Lord, I'm blind. And Lord, I'm not thinking right. I need you to intervene. So the urgency of David's praying was founded upon certain fears. He makes these three petitions, consider me, hear me, light mine eyes. And these were based upon fears that he had. Tell God your fears. He already knows them. Express your fears to God. Don't go to God and pretend you're not afraid when you are. How foolish. Notice verse 3. Lest I sleep the sleep of death. David literally feels that if God does not move on his behalf, he will die. He is saying, God, I cannot continue to live this way. If you do not intervene, I will die. That's his fear. Lest I sleep the sleep of death. Again, it expresses desperation. It expresses urgency. Paul expressed the same feeling. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8, he said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired life." Felt like, I can't take any more. That's what he's saying is, pressed out of measure above strength. I can't take any more, is what Paul is saying. It's what David is saying. And when in that situation, keep praying. Keep expressing your fears to God. Notice verse 4. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. He's afraid he's going to be defeated by the enemy. And when in that situation, keep praying. Also notice verse 4. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. He feels that he's about to waver. He's about to slip. He's about to quit. You ever feel like quitting? Tell God. Tell God. Keep on telling Him. Because God changes us through prayer. Then we come to verse 5 and 6. And you have the expression of trust. You come to verse 5. You compare that to verses 1 and 2. And you can even compare it to verse 3 and 4. But his heart has changed. His heart has changed by the time you get to verse 5. His feelings have changed. His outlook has changed. The tone of his prayer has changed. His focus has changed. When in verses 1 and 2, our feelings need to change. And God can do that. And it happens many times by just continuing to pray. Just continuing to pray. You can express these feelings to other individuals, but chances are your feelings are only going to increase when you do that, because most individuals are going to feed those bad feelings. Tell God. God doesn't feed bad feelings. He takes them away. And that's what happens by the time you get to verse 5. So in verse 5, he says, but, that is in spite of everything else, I have trusted in thy mercy. The word trusted has the meaning of I have fled to your mercy. I hide and take refuge in your mercy. I have trusted. That indicates an action which has already taken place. I have. So he is, by the time you get to verse 5, he's continued on praying. And by the time you get to verse 5, he had fled to God's mercy. So though in verses 1 and 2, he kept praying, and such changed him, and he trusted. Keep praying. It'll change you. It'll change you. You see, our number one priority in prayer, and herein lies the problem, because it is the number one priority with most, but our number one priority in prayer is not to get our circumstances changed. That's not the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer is to know God's will and to receive what we need for the circumstances that we are in. And this is why people will say, well, I prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing changed. You have a wrong motive of praying. You've missed it. You keep praying. Your circumstances may not change one iota. Your circumstances may grow worse. But you keep praying because you change in prayer. God changes us. And that's what we need. So we kept praying. And there was joy. Having trusted, notice what he says, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Now, I have trusted, an action already completed. My heart shall. Future tense. Rejoice in thy salvation, in thy deliverance. I know that you're going to deliver me. One way or the other. And my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. So he kept praying. And in the end, there was joy. There was joy. So you get up this morning and you have feelings that are not right, tell God. You pray all day long. Those feelings have not changed. Keep telling God. You get up tomorrow, it's the same thing. Keep telling God. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep telling the Lord. And prayer will change you eventually. Notice verse 6. Again, future tense. I will sing unto the Lord. The word for sing means to turn about or to travel. It conveys the idea of one who sings everywhere he goes. So that's the kind of joy that he's talking about. Again, it's quite a change from verses 1 and 2. So keep praying. Keep praying. Notice also verse 6. And compare this last statement of verse 6 with what you read in verses 1 and 2. Again, let's read verses 1 and 2. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Then read the last phrase of verse 6. He hath dealt bountifully with me. What a change. What a change. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul? But then by the end of verse 6, he hath dealt. He hath. Remember when David prayed, Lord, light mine eyes, cause me to see rightly, correctly? There it is. He's seeing things right now. God has been bountiful to me. What a change. From verses 1 and 2, keep praying. Keep praying. So the psalm began with David in distress and sorrow. But he keeps praying. He prays through it all. And it ends in song. The lesson? Keep praying. The psalm started with David feeling forgotten. Forgotten by God. But he keeps praying. By the time you get to verse 6, David feels that he has been bountifully blessed. Quite a change from feeling God has forgotten me to God has blessed me bountifully. Try to change your mind. So keep praying. Again, prayer does not change the perfect will of God. I've told this story before, but when I first started preaching, all the preachers were telling me, "Oh, you got to get E.M. Bounds' book on prayer. It's like 6 volumes. Nobody has written better. There's not a better work anywhere on prayer." Money was tight. I eventually bought the set, read the first line, never opened it again. First line, prayer can change the will of God. I thought, if the man's that ignorant, I don't care to know anything else he has to say. Prayer does not change the will of God. Why would you want to change the perfect will of God? But prayer does change us. And we all know that. We all know that by experience. You pray and you pray and you pray. And prayer does change us. Oh, it may not happen in 10 seconds. It may not happen in a day where it's noticeable to us. It's happening. As you pray, you are being changed. You may not notice it right away. But eventually, you move from verses 1 and 2 to verses 5 and 6. Now, I would much rather live in verses 5 and 6 than verses 1 and 2. Because of our human nature, we go from verses 1 and 2 to verses 5 and 6. But we also know that we'll get back to verses 1 and 2. We'll get back there because of who we are. And when that happens, what are we to do? Same thing that got us to verse 5 and 6 before. You pray, and you pray, and you pray. Prayer changes us. I have no desire to change God. We need to be changed. We need to be changed every day. And God knows just how to change us. So keep praying. Don't ever quit praying, even when it seems futile. You say, well, prayer is never futile. That's true. But don't tell me you don't feel that it's futile sometimes. I know better. We all feel that way. We feel an urgency, and God doesn't answer in a hurry. And we feel, well, what's the use? You keep praying because prayer changes you. Just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Brother Tim, if you come and lead us. Verse